Good morning. It is Sunday, the 27th of June, and we're in Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus 21, maybe 22 this morning. After a word of prayer, we're going to sing Nearer, My God, to Thee, 393. So let's pray. Father, thank you for everybody that's here for a full classroom. And I ask, Lord, that you would instruct us as we read your word, that we'd learn more about you, we get closer to you, that we'd just be tight. And I ask that you'd help us to worship. Pray for the services that happen after this, that your word be put out, that Pastor Pete would be able to explain to us what you have to say. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I have to turn the air conditioner down further. Nearer, my God, to thee.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to even though it be a cross that brings with me, still all my songs shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun go down, darkness be over me, my restless tone. If in my dreams I be nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. There let the way appear, says unto them, all that thou sendest me in mercy here. Angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then with my waking thoughts rise with thy praise. My stony grief, let raise. So by my walls to be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. War if on life wing, leaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars for God, upward I fly. Still my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
Good job, guys. So we're in Exodus 21, on our way to the study of the tabernacle. About I don't know if you realize it, but Moses got all this information. He got from Exodus 20 through like Numbers 21, all at Mount Sinai. And he had to write it down. And that's one of the first things I want to talk to you about. The Israelites managed to escape Israel or Egypt by God's grace. He took them out. And in Egypt, guess how much of the law was written down? Zero, zip, nada, nothing. So you know what that means. It's kind of like what we've got today in our current government. You just make stuff up as you go. And that's not good. It needs to be written down. So, like the law, which I've told you before, God was gracious to us and merciful to us to give us this law that we can't keep. Some people don't get it. He hasn't given it to everybody. But we have it. We have it in our hot little hands. So it's written down, and there, you know when you're doing right, you know when you're doing wrong. Is that a good thing? All right. So let me read it to you. Chapter 21, the word of God says, "Now these are the ordinances which are you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he will go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out by himself alone. But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out as a free man,' then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. And if a man sells his daughter as a female slave, she is not to go free as the male slaves do. If she is displeasing in the eyes of her master, and he designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He does not have authority to sell her to a foreign people because of his unfairness to her. And if he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of their daughters. If he takes to himself another woman, he may not reduce her food, her clothing, her conjugal rights. And if he will not do these three things for her, then she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall on his hand, then I will appoint you a place to which he may flee. If, however, a man acts presumptuously toward his neighbor so as to kill him craftily, you are to take him even from my altar, that he may die. And if he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men have a quarrel, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, he does not die, but remains in bed. If he gets up and walks around outside his staff, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. He shall only pay for his loss of time, and shall take care of him until he is completely healed. And if a man strikes his male or female servant with a rod and dies in his hand, he shall be punished. If, however, he survives a day or two, no vengeance shall be taken, for he is his property. And if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as judges decide. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. And if a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free on account of his eye. And if he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, he shall let him go free on account of his tooth. And if an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and he kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall all be put to death. If a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. Whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. If the ox gores a male or a female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead animal shall become his. And if one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide its price equally, and they shall also divide the dead ox. Or if it is known that the ox was previously in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not confined it, they shall surely pay ox for ox, and the ox for ox, and the dead animal shall become his. And there is a chapter break, a man-made chapter break. So how did chapter 21 start out? Who's mentioned first? Slaves. Absolutely. Isn't that interesting?
I think so.
So by the time we get to Leviticus somewhere, the slave thingy has gone away. That God addresses slaves first in this chapter is not condoning slavery, but the first thing he does is he protects the most mean people. Isn't that nice? No?
I thought it was a little trick.
And there's not a whole lot about the masters. There's not a whole lot of protection for the masters, but the slaves are protected by God's law. Skipping down to about verse 12, I have 12 through 17. There's several times that death or dying is mentioned, and I have those circled.
Correct. The second one he mentions are women, daughters, females were not really highly valued, and so it goes from slave to to female protection to
parents. Okay. Starting with verse 12, I've got death circled. 14's got die in it. 15, death. 16, death. 17, death. The way it was in the old days was not so much to put somebody in Yuma territorial prison and make them sit there and feed them, take care of them, give them their drugs and all that stuff. Just kill them. No more truth, no more problems.
Knowing that that's going to be their punishment would stop them from doing a lot of that.
Well, I have commentary that said that death is not a deterrent. I agree with you. I think I'm going to be killed for what I'm doing. Well, yeah, we wouldn't be stacking people up like a garden. Let you out because you got COVID.
You go over to
my former brother-in-law was from Syria, and he said in Syria, if you got caught stealing, the punishment was they would cut your hand off, and he was public. And he said, she knows he was stealing over there, right? People got the message. But that was more than everything we're saying, and I can't find it, but I know it's in there. Biblically, it says that. It says so that others will see.
And I think that's what the cross is about. There was a road just lined with crosses. You hang the criminals up on there, and everybody else goes, I think I better behave. So, all right. Going on down in the chapter, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth thing. The punishment should fit the crime. We don't want to do overkill. But and the other thing that I see in here is that whenever the law talks about people dying or even animals dying, you can see that God promotes life. So whenever he even includes the animals and extends punishment for the death of an animal, that tells me that he cares a lot. I want to talk about abortion, but I'm not going to. If you can't love your neighbor, that's about as close as you can get. You got somebody in your body that's made in the image of God. If you can't do that, you may as well just give up.
They're very important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
my son brought up something that, you know, said the woman's pregnant. Did it say, and the baby dies? Well, my son brought up the fact that even nowadays, you know, there's four abortion, but that if a woman who's pregnant gets murdered, and the
baby gets murdered,
he gets double what it says. So that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I have a note here on verse 20. It says, if a man strikes his male or female servant with a rod and he dies at his hand, he shall be punished. If he survives, let me see. 22. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined.
Okay.
As the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. And I don't know where I got the commentary on it, but it says the focus here is not on the baby, it's about the injury to the woman. At this time, the penalty for abortion was already crucifixion. And this is according to pagan laws. Well, you can see how far we've fallen. I see all kinds of stuff on feeds of churches and their failure to address abortion and treat it as what it is, murder. And they just keep on finding ways, workarounds of whatever it will, to justify taking lives. I agree. Yes, it is. Yeah. Right. However, I think I mentioned this before. You have, for instance, somebody in Planned Parenthood that knows how to operate the tools. And they can manipulate it and go, I don't hear anything, you. So they got another way around it.
Yes.
Yep. It's just pure wickedness.
Well, that's the way that they use it when you just said, if we don't let it do this way, the mother's watching, yeah, she'll find it in another way. Yeah.
All right. I meant to give you the sections that we're going through right now, and I'll just, you'll have to remember this. But chapter 21 through 22:16 is a civil and criminal law. 22:17 through 23:19 is like contract law. One through 22:16 is civil and criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
22:17 through 23:19 is categorical law or derivative law, like a contract.
Okay.
20 through 33 is God repeating his promises. Chapter 24 is covenant relation between God and people confirmed. And I told you by the time you get to Leviticus, slavery is gone, but it's Deuteronomy. All right, I'm going to move on to chapter 22. And I just can't go without reading the word. If a man steals an ox or a sheep or slaughters it or sells it, and he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. And there you go. You were talking about the value of animals. There's a little bit of difference between animals, whichever one's the best workhorse. If the thief is caught while breaking in and struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness upon his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes on another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to the thorn bushes so that the stacked grain or the standing grain in the field itself is also consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him and is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is ox for donkey, for sheep, for clothing, or for which one says, "This is it," the case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any animal to keep for him, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and his owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If it is all torn to pieces, let him bring as evidence, he shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor or is injured and dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. If its owner is with it, he shall not make restitution. If it is hired, it came for its hire. And if a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the dowry for virgins. You shall not allow a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god other than to the Lord alone shall utterly be destroyed. And you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you are to return it to him before the sun sets, for that is his only covering. It is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. You shall not curse God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay the offering from your harvest or from your vintage. The firstborn of your sons shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the 8th day, you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. Therefore, you shall not eat any flesh torn to pieces in the field, and you shall throw it to the dogs. I can't read this one. I'm told that there are many reasons for stealing. That's one of the first things that comes up in this chapter. Some of the reasons for stealing is greed, envy, or a sense of entitlement. That's why little kids go, mine. Another reason for stealing is a failure to believe in God's providence, how God sets you up. He really is in control. And number three, a failure to see your fellow man as created in the image of God. I think that's the biggie. If we look around and look at our neighbor and go, God made that one, and that's good, that will change the way we treat people. And I need to remember that whenever I'm driving.
And that was, you see something that may yet still be a sin. And you don't look down, you pray for them to see it as happens.
Yes.
And that gives you a whole new
one.
I say all the time, you know, at least 15 times a day.
If you read the Bible, the same thing happens.
Even though you've read
it. All right. We're going to make it. We'll get chapter 23 and 24 done, and next week we can start on the tabernacle. Where are you going?
I have an obligation to my brothers next week.
It'll be recorded. All right. Chapter 23. And by the way, these are all built on the Big Ten. Big Ten suggestions. Remember those? These are all built on the Big Ten. Chapter 23. You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow a multitude in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. I guess there'd be no more mobs, huh? Couldn't have any more riots. If you meet your enemy's ox on his donkey wandering away, and you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under his load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due in your needy brother in his dispute. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will acquit the guilty. It says he's
no,
the yes. Thank you. Told you I can't. And you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just. You shall not oppose a stranger, since yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. And you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its field, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave the beast in the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days are you to do your work, On the seventh day, you shall cease from labor in order that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Now concerning everything what I have said to you, be on your guard, and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth. That's pretty strict. Don't even mention them. All right. 14. Three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you at the appointed time of the month Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. And none shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall observe the feast of the harvest, of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Also the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. I'm sorry. I can't see not. I guess I must be totally disobedient. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor the fat of my feast to remain every night until morning. You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. You are not to boil a kid in the milk of its mother. Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you will truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you to the land of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods nor serve them, but do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no mission. Wow. There shall be no miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets ahead of you, so that they may drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out for you little by little until you become unfruitful and take possession of the land. And I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness to the River Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land, into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Goodness. All in ites. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question right off the bat here? Verse 19 says, you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's mouth. I was wondering. For some reason, that hit me out of everything. Yeah. Why? I think from the Torah. And they said something about it's probably called a pagan ritual that has to be fulfilled. Really? And but the funny part about it was, I don't know if this is true,
Yeah.
But he said when you go to Israel, you cannot get a...
Exactly. You can't get a cheeseburger.
You can't get a cheeseburger in Israel. Restaurant.
Right.
So,
the Israelites, Israel still, to my knowledge, won't even put a piece of beef and a piece of cheese on the same plate.
So,
yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
I have a note from my MacArthur Study Bible. Canaanite ritual, according to excavations in ancient lands, called for sacrificial gifts to be boiled in milk. But the damaged Ugaritic text does not clearly specify mother's milk. If it were so, then it is understandable that Israel was being prevented from copying pagan idolatrous ritualism. Mm-hmm. Another option suggests that the dead was being boiled in the very substance which had sustained its life, hence the prohibition. Until more archaeological information comes to light, the specific religious cultural reason remains as supposition.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yep. And that... they're told in here not to worship like the Canaanites do.
Where it points out that three times a year you should feast to meat, unleavened bread, and the priest turned up and died, and the feast of I haven't had a chance to look it up.
Yeah. He's keeping what he has done for them, bringing them out of slavery and redeeming them. He's keeping that in front of them so that they can see it. And that's a lot of what happens in the tabernacle too. There's all kinds of symbolism in there to remind them where they came from and where they are now. Tabernacle means to dwell with. Okay. So, I have a note. Absolute loyalty is required. You have to reject the other gods. God wants to be front. In the New Testament, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And you could quote that another way. It's not the way he said it. But if God is against us, who could be for us? Try that one. All right. Okay, we're going to get through 24. Watch this. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered and said with one voice, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with the 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Egypt, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they beheld God, and they ate and drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, Come up to me, on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. But to the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we return to you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days, and on the seventh day he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountain. And Moses entered the midst of the cloud, and he went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And he made it. I paused after I read all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Don't make a promise you can't keep. It's a good thought. It sounds really good, but one of the big things about the law is you can't keep the Big Ten. It's not that you shouldn't try, but it's amazing to me that with one voice he said, "We're going to keep it." All right. The authorized New American Standard. I'm being facetious.
You are in Bible school with my Old Testament and New Testament teacher. So the only accurately one done was the New American Standard.
Hmm.
That's what he taught.
Yeah.
He's also one of the teachers.
Yeah. I just don't speak the King's English. I grew up on a King James, but I don't. You're right. Right. One of my problems is that I like to eat, and it messes with my diabetes, and it affects my eyesight. And I'd be a good boy before I showed up here. I'd be in better shape. Verse 10 is interesting. It says, "And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself." Reminds you of the earth is his footstool. No description is given. The only description that you see in that verse is from the feet down. God's feet are resting on sapphire blue pavement looking stuff.
Making James.
Okay. All right.
And they saw him. Go down to 11. They saw him and they ate and drank.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that stuff? Good morning, Almighty God. Has this title. It just ought to be
so in awe. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that. My stomach would be a little bit. Really? Yeah. Wasn't the feast supposed to be confirming a covenant in those days? Having a feast.
All right. I think I'm just going to stop right there so that we can start with chapter 25 next week while Lois is gone. I try. I don't know what you guys, did you guys hear there was going to be pie and ice cream or something at the end? Glad to see all of you. Wow. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the detail of it. Thank you for the provision, the protection of it. If only we do what you say. Father, I ask that you'd make us more obedient. We know that we sin. We know that we don't pay attention like we should. And we'll just ask for your help in that. It's only by your grace and your mercy that we'll be able to follow you at all. I thank you, Lord, for the high attendance. I ask that you go with us into the next room and that we truly worship you and give you the honor and glory that you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.